Blog Talk Radio.
See if we did this right.
Not all the way. Not all the way. Don't let people get there though. Because we always do, Joe. Everything is going to be all right. And it's just going to be okay. It's Saturday. And I'm feeling like a real man should. And I hope y'all feeling the same way. It's just good that we here. And we get better. Yeah. We keep you out. And I'll tell you, get up. Yo, we go get it. Life, make sure that we get rid of the stress and all of the depression. Yo, we blessed to each other. Make sure that we act like this. What the word? You understand? You heard? All right, today we're going to Earth Therapy with Sunshine. We're talking about bouncing back, rebounding, coming back, and recovering. What is your determination, your tenacity to restore yourself back to whatever you were and however you were after you have taken a loss, after you have fallen off, after you have been damaged, broken, hurt, you know. So when we think about that comeback story, we love the comeback story. One thing America loves is the comeback story. The person who was down and out, the underdog, who had to fight against all odds, the snowball. No ball in hell. No chance to win, but he did it. We talk about it a lot, but what about when you used to be the greatest? When you used to be the best? When you were among the elite? And something happens to you that takes you back, that drops your rank, that won't allow you to be as good as you were and to be on display the same life that you were previously. What do we do about those situations? What do we do in those situations? And how much do those situations play into your determination to work out, to come back, to make sure that you work so hard to get back to what you were before? Is it all about you getting back comfortable to what you were? Or is it about whoever is looking at you and was waiting for fall off and do bad and make you look bad up? Does it always make you mad, dude? You have a bunch of haters that's waiting in the wings and they never want to see you do the thing. And I know that you are not the devil, but you gotta go against they rebel. That's work. So you do what you have to. But are you going to be the best again? I'm asking you, my friend. How much does the crowd, the haters, the naysayers, the doubters, how much does that play into your determination to make a comeback, to do it again, to reach number one? And we got a bunch of categories that we can talk about, a bunch of scenarios, a bunch of examples that we can use to talk about this afternoon. So I want to have a little fun with it today. You know, well, the subject matter that we've been dealing with lately has been kind of serious. And we always try to talk about our sense of self because, you know, a lot of times that's what drives us to be as good as we're going to be or as good as we are. And ego is wrapped up in that. Our ego, the way we want to be seen by others. Like, look, I can't be having people seeing me all bummy, seeing me all struggling, seeing me hungry, seeing me broke. Sometimes we say that out loud and sometimes we say it to ourselves. But it's a significant factor
in determining how we live. How much downtime will we have? How much leisure time will we have? How much energy will we spend trying to get back to the point where we are that guy, that girl, that man, that woman? You know, making sure that when people see us, they see us in a positive light. They see us in a way that they know that they are standing in front of greatness. You're not dealing with the average, the run of the mill, the, you know, just one of those hang-alongs. You're dealing with a leader. You're dealing with somebody who sets trends. Trendsetters, baby. Well, being in that space is very ego-driven. And I'm not one of those people that's ashamed to say that your ego being very, very high or big, large, enormous, gigantic, ginormous, that can be some of the things or one of the things that saves your life or saves your sanity. And I'll give some examples of that, too. So I'm glad to be here for the Urban Therapy with Sun Show, man. I'm glad to be here with y'all. You know what I mean? It hasn't been very long since I saw y'all. We was just here last night. What's going on, Stacey White? Good to see you coming on through. Thanks for coming on through. Appreciate me some you. Saturday afternoon, baby. And we're talking about bouncing back, rebounding, coming back, recovering. Have you ever been down? Have you ever? Well, I guess the question that I have to ask here is how high have you ever gone in your personal life, personal, professional? When I say personal and professional life, and how high you have gone, to me it's all personal because it all benefited you. How far have you gone? Have you gone so far to the point where you were well-known, famous, semi-famous, a hood superstar, or maybe a world-renowned or national icon or recognizable public figure? Maybe you were just prom king or prom queen, a star athlete, class president, the cutie or the fly guy around the way. However far you have gone, whatever skill or accolade that you have been blessed with, how far have you been able to take it? How well were you recognized amongst your peers and whoever else was your audience? How far have you gone to be recognized, or no, how well have you been recognized for doing whatever it is that you have done? And are you still there, or are you a little less than what you were when you were at your peak, when you were in your prime? You know, we look at athletes, we look at boxers. Being in boxing, that's always a good comeback story. You know, Muhammad Ali, George Foreman definitely comes to mind. Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield, maybe. Did he ever have to come back? I know Evander Holyfield really fought to get back to being he wanted to be a three-time champion. He never did it. He remains a two-time champion. But he was going for that three. He was going for the three-peat. He was going for that comeback. Speaking of Evander Holyfield is an interesting story in boxing because he had a storied career. You know, being in a heavyweight class but never being heavy enough to actually be in the heavyweight class. He's really a cruiserweight, especially in his younger years. He was a cruiserweight. And a cruiserweight is not a popular weight class in boxing. So if you want to get to the real money and get to that bag, you got to get up to the heavyweight. So a cruiserweight is like under 200 pounds. So when you look at Evander Holyfield, he looks very, especially years ago, 20, 25, 30 years ago. He looked very athletic, very muscular, especially for a boxer. Boxers don't always look, you know, muscular and stuff like that, but he did, you know. He looked tall. He looked like he was a tall man. Let's see how tall Evander Holyfield is. Because on TV, he always looked kind of tall to me. Like, when he had his wars with Riddick Bowe. Now, I know Riddick Bowe is tall. Let's see. How tall is Evander Holyfield? Oh, he's 6'2". He is tall. So he wasn't just looking the type. Lewis was 6'5". Goodness gracious. And Riddick Bowe is 6'5". Yeah, so they were true heavyweights. Now, Muhammad Ali was 6'3". Did y'all know that? Ali was tall. I don't think I ever recognized that. Because Ali never really looked like a true heavyweight until he got older and started gaining weight. George Foreman was 6'4". Wow. Yeah, these were, they really were the giants back in the day. All right, so Evander Holyfield, 6'2". So, yeah, he looked very athletic. But standing next to true heavyweights, he looked small. But he was able to, you know, stand toe-to-toe with him and do his thing. Evander Holyfield had a lot of kids. And somewhere around the middle, or you could say, I don't want to say the end of his career because he's still alive and he's not boxing anymore. He might still be boxing. That cat kept it going for a long time. A long time. So you might turn around and see, like, Evander Holyfield is on a card somewhere. Boxing is crazy. People do it in their years after their prime, you know, after they've already fallen off because they need money sometimes. Mike Tyson did that. He fought many people and was getting beat because he was really just fighting to pay off his debts. He had to fight to pay bills. He was doing it for the check. Evander Holyfield, they talk about how he made $100 million over his career, and I remember when he had to file for bankruptcy. So his home was going in foreclosure, and I remember asking, like, how do you make $100 million and not pay off a house? The point is, he had to make a comeback from that. Because that wasn't the end of his career. That wasn't the end of his life. So he had to fight his way back. Now I would imagine when you're a boxer, that's a very ego-driven sport. When you're a boxer, you're used to people, you know, saying, knock him out. And, yeah, you the best. And, yo, champ, being called champ, hey, yo, that's the champ. Even when you don't have the belt anymore, people still like, yo, I got a picture with the champ. Hey, can I get a picture with you, champ? Hey, champ. Champ, 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 champ. And you are used to that. Like, yeah, that's right. I'm known around the world as the biggest and the baddest. People from China all the way to California know who I am. Up to Russia, down to Africa, Argentina, North Pole, South Pole, anybody who likes boxing knows who I am, and they know what I can do, and they recognize me, and they revere me. I can go anywhere and be all right, even jail. So when you're stripped of your title because you lost, you lose in front of everybody. You lose right there on camera, and it's a one-on-one fight. You can't blame, you know, any team members. Nobody is in that ring except for you. So your trainers, your managers, and everything, they can only offer you advice and give you and offer you strategies. You have to play them out. So a comeback story in boxing is a big deal. So with that being said, do you think that the boxers who have had to make a comeback. Shout out to you, T. Carrie Wright, morning, noon, and night. It's always great to have my people going directly into your site. Do you think that those boxers who have had to make a comeback or other athletes who have had to make a comeback, are they doing it because they want to feel good about themselves again and they really just want to fight? Maybe it's some sort of therapy for them, or are they doing it because they want to hear those screams and those cheers and those and be recognized as the champion again? For me, either one of those things are okay. Whether they are doing it for themselves or whether they're doing it for the crowd, their supporters, it's still, to me, doing it for yourself. For some people, they might not be okay with that. You know, I'm definitely okay with that. So, but it's a tough thing, and it's a life driving force. That there is a life driving force. So that's what we're talking about this afternoon. Sorry, let's get it popping. Urban Therapy with Sun 752 with Mr. Urban Therapy with Sun Show. We do this every single Saturday from 1 p.m. till around 2:30-ish. And the reason that we say 2:30-ish is because sometimes it gets so heated that we just have to do a little OT on a Saturday. And it is a Saturday. This is the show where adults come out and play with other adults. We laugh, we cry, we argue, fuss, and fight, go back and forth with each other, bust it up all crazy. We take an introspective look into our own personality to see the way that the world projects us into this. I mean, the universe projects us into this thing called the world and try to figure out this thing called life. I'm your host, Sun 752, a.k.a. Omar with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrrr, well, then you just say Omar with the R. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show Saturday afternoon. And we're talking about bouncing back, rebounding, coming back, recovering. So I asked earlier, what's the highest you have ever gone in whatever skill or talent that you had? How high of a success have you made it? I think my highest point was when I was doing comedy, striving to become the greatest comedian out there. And I tried out, auditioned for Def Comedy Jam. So I was heavily into comedy when I auditioned for Def Comedy Jam. The year was 2006. And I think it was like either late November or early December. And all of the comedians in the city were auditioning. Well, I ain't going to say all of them, but all of my peers, you know, were auditioning to get on Def Comedy Jam. It's funny. I don't remember any white comedians trying out for Def Comedy Jam. But, you know, even though a lot of people, black, white, or any other race or ethnic background, enjoyed Def Comedy Jam, black comedians definitely wanted to be on Def Comedy Jam. There are so many comedians who got their biggest recognition from the Def Comedy Jam and went on to be superstars. Martin Lawrence was in movies and he was a comedian way before Def Comedy Jam, but there's no denying that gave him his most visibility. Chris Tucker, shoot, even Steve Harvey and Cedric the Entertainer and a bunch of comedians. So we all wanted to be in that bag, you know? So when I tried out for Def Comedy Jam, to make a long story short, a lot of people didn't believe in me. Like, they knew my comedy was good, and I was really, really starting to be really good at it. But they figured all of the heavyweights were the ones who were going to advance. So I don't think they realized how much time and thought I put into it. So I went on that stage and tore it up, tore it down, ripped it to shreds. So whereas when I got off the stage, first of all, even the comedians that I was beefing with and had been hated on by, they was like, yo, you tore that shit up. And I was sort of like, yep. So I'm thinking, like, honestly, I'm like, there's no way I'm going to make the show. But the producer of the show, he's like, yo, let me talk to you for a minute. And, yeah, he gave me his number and everything. You know, so I was like, maybe there's a shot. I didn't make the show. But they did have, I didn't make the Def Comedy Jam show. But I was supposed to have been on a lower show that was Def Comedy Jam produced. And it was like for some ringtones or something like that, you know. So somehow I got jerked out of that. Politics, baby. Politics, a lot of politics. But in that career, that was my shining moment. And I really, for me, it was a comeback. Because like I said, a lot of people, a lot of my peers, a lot of my haters, they were like, man, he ain't gonna blah. I'm like, okay. Well, I'll show you. And I did. So that was sort of a comeback for me. That was a very good night for me. Very, very, very good night. So things like that might give you the green light to really try your hardest. That wasn't me getting back to whatever I was. That was me propelling myself to the next level. That was me showing everybody right in front of them that I'm as good as any and all of y'all. Because I was the best that night. You can debate whether I was the best or whether the comedian who actually made the show, the only comedian from that audition who actually made the show, you can debate that he was the best. But you're not going to be able to debate that anybody else was even close. That's what you're not going to be able to do. So it was one of those things. It was one of those things. So a good comeback story can be very therapeutic for you personally. Like, I did it. I showed them. But what do you think it's for? Who do you think it's for? Is it for you or is it for them? I know that it was for me. And it was also for them. So it was for me. If it was for them, then it was for me. Because it wasn't so much for them, it was to them. They weren't my supporters. They were my haters or non-believers. And that night I made a believer out of all of them, including the producers. Now, we did go on to work with each other later on, so, you know, it wasn't a total failure. Or it wasn't a total bust, as I should say. So, yeah. But wherever and however far you have gone in whatever skill that you have, you may have experienced a time when you had a lull, when you were in a funk, when you fell off, when you weren't as good or as or recognized as being as good as you once were to some people. So how does that influence your energy to get back to what you were? Let's talk about an easy one. Looks. Your looks. People talk all the time about when they were younger and how good looking they were and how great their body was or how great of a dresser they were. how good of a dancer they were. And one of the hardest things to do is to get back to what you were like when you were younger. You only get one chance to be young. When that youthful era is over, it's all the way over. You got to reinvent yourself. You have to rebrand yourself. You got to do something different. So let's say you were one of the most handsome men around the way, or you were one of the most beautiful girls around the way, or whatever. And you had a really bad accident. Maybe it disfigured your face or messed up your body, made you lose a lot of weight. You know, it took away some of the beauty or some of the beauty that you once had. How would you handle that? And while you're on your way back, because it could have been a life-threatening accident. So whereas, forget about how you look. You should be happy to just be alive. Alive. Think about Damar Hamlin. Damar Hamlin, the free safety for the Buffalo Bills. He collapsed at a football game on Monday Night Football after making a tackle. Collapsed. Would have died on the field had they not administered CPR. And he's still in critical condition. Now, he did wake up, and it looks like he's going to recover. Will he ever play football again? Maybe. Maybe not. 24 years old. Cardiac arrest? 24 years old? Who thinks about having a heart attack at 24 years old? When he woke up, reports said that once he came out of, like, his comatose state, I guess you could say, he asked, yo, did we win the game? Because I'm sure he lost all of his memory about what his condition is. I can't even say what his condition was because it is currently still that. But people are going to be looking for him to play again. So when he asked, did we win? And the doctor said, yeah, you won. You won in the game of life. It was over for you. Will he ever play again? Should he ever play again? I don't know. But if he ever suits up again and plays on a football field, it will be the greatest comeback the NFL has ever seen. Will he do it for himself, or will he do it for the millions of fans who saw him fall out and saw him almost die on the football field? It's something to think about. That's going to be whatever he chooses to do, whatever doctors think is best for him, and whatever his health will allow him to do. Because the NFL is the highest level of football that you can play. You know, this ain't high school or college. It's a dangerous sport, and it's the most popular sport in the United States. Hands down, no question. Number one, will he do it? And what do y'all think? By the way, if you want to call into the show, I invite y'all to call in, and the number to call is area code 319-527-6199. That's the number to call. I said a 319-527-6199. Yes, 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 y'all. I said a 319-527-6199. Yeah, get on the line. I said a 319-527-6199. Yeah, get your shine, baby. Get your shine, baby. 319-527-6199, baby. Press number one, and that will let me know that you would like to speak, and then I will call you out by the last four digits of your telephone number. You can rock a rock on and do the damn thing. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. I'm your host on 752, and we're talking about bouncing back, rebounding, coming back, and recovering. If DeMar Hamlin plays football again, do you think it will be smart? Do you think it would be good? Do you think it would be a good choice for him? Would it be a wise choice for him? At 24 years old, then probably being in the position where you dreamt all your life and worked hard all your life to make it into the NFL, what do you think he should do? If you can imagine putting yourself in that position, what would you do? Would you choose life or would you choose health? And that's kind of like what it comes down to. Now, if the situation that I segued from into the DeMar Hamlin situation, what do you think, like, how would you handle a situation where you lost your looks because you were in a bad car accident, or you lost your ability to be able to walk, talk, do something else that quote unquote normal people be able to do? Your determination to come back will be based on what, or yourself. What do you think? How do you think you would handle it? Have you been through it? You know, have you been one of the most good looking, one of the healthiest, one of the flyest, and through circumstances beyond your control or maybe even in your control, you fell off for a while. You weren't that in which you portrayed anymore for an extended period of time. Please make sure y'all hit that like button, y'all. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. I know we're small right now, but we're going to talk anyway. We're going to talk. Yeah. You know, how have you handled these situations? How would you handle situations where you had to fight your way back to get to the prominent status that you were before? You know, sometimes when you have done really great things in your life, great and important things in your life, sometimes people really support you and sometimes they don't. Sometimes people, you know, think that you're really only doing it in the first place so you can look down on other people. Jealousy works in a strange way. Jealousy works in a strange way and in an obvious way in many ways also. You know, so when you talk about somebody being jealous of what you have, jealous of what you've done, jealous of who you are, and they're so happy when you fall off, when you don't do well, when you suffer a defeat or a loss. They're so happy about that. How does that affect you? How does that affect your ability or your determination to work hard, practice, get back on your horse, network, do whatever is necessary to get back to where you were? If you were the type of person who was known for having a lot of money or really good business sense and some type of life circumstance took a lot of your money away, your savings away, your business away, to whereas you didn't enjoy that financial success that you were so known for. You know, when you were the one that everybody came to for financial advice, tips, or that they came to when they needed money because they knew you had it. What happened What happened when you were down for a little while? How did you handle it? How would you handle it? You're used to being known as that dude or that girl who is paid. Yeah. They always been about their paper. They've been about that paper for as long as I've known them. And they be getting theirs. Well, what does that say about them? What does that say about you? If you went from riches to rags, maybe even rags to riches and then riches to rags, how hard do you think that you would fight to get back to the riches? Shoot, I think we all know a little something about that. I got to get back to this bag because it can cover so many areas. It might cover just the area for you where you just want to get your stuff back, material items. I lost my house. I lost my car. I lost my phones. I lost my stuff. I lost my jewelry. I lost all the toys. I lost the spoils of success. I lost it. And I want it back. Are you doing it because you really enjoyed that lifestyle? Or are you doing it because you know that people know that you have lived that life and you want to get back to, you know what I mean, being the money man. You the man. Man among men, women amongst women, woman amongst women. What do you think? We've seen a lot of, okay, if you look at Kanye West, and in 1 year's time, he went from being recognized as the richest black man in America. Maybe even the world, to just another millionaire with the stroke of a pen or the termination of a contract. You go from being a multi-billionaire to 400 million. Now, 400 million ain't nothing to sneeze at, but it's nowhere near multi-billion status. Nowhere near it. And that kind of lets you know how the government and the media plays around with money. Because no money was taken away from him. It was just that now his worth isn't what it is because certain people remove themselves and distance themselves away from him. So I'm like, so you went from like, he was supposed to have had like, or been worth like between 4 and 6 billion, something like that. Some little crazy number. Down to 400 million with just a few companies removing themselves or distancing themselves from him or terminating contracts. Where was the money? Where was the money? Big difference in the money that you have and the money that you're worth. Big difference. Big. You can't cash checks on what you're worth. That's the big difference. You cannot cash checks on what you are worth. Make sure I got this right. Okay, yeah, we good. We good. Okay, so yeah, with Kanye, I'm sure he's thinking about the comeback. He's very, very ego-driven. I would say negatively so, though, with him. Very, very ego-driven. So I'm sure his crazy ass is somewhere plotting and scheming on how to get back to those billions that he was enjoying before. Now, he'll tell you differently. He'll tell you that he feels like he's free now. But anybody with half a brain knows for a fact that this cat is probably not happy with his current status. He wants to be that guy again. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be that guy again. What will you do to be that guy again? What will you do to be that girl again? What will you do? How much would you sacrifice? What would you trade? How much would you barter? How much would you borrow? What kind of risks would you take? What kind of gambles would you be associated with? What? That's what we're talking about today on the Urban Therapy with Sun show. Make sure y'all hit that like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. It's Urban Therapy with Sun show. Bouncing back, rebounding, coming back, recovering. Your looks, your health. What if you have been a drug addict before? You know how it is. When you get involved with drugs, heavily involved with drugs and your addiction, that body you used to have, those looks, that pretty face you used to have, that money you used to have, that way that you used to dress, that house that you used to live in or apartment, that car you used to drive, that respect that you used to have, everything, the health that you enjoy, all of it, everything comes crushing down, falling down on you when you are dealing with a drug or alcohol problem. It all goes down. It shows. It shows on you physically. And it's not deniable. It's not deniable at all. Well, how do you handle it? What do you do? Many drug addicts have had to make a recovery. They even call the process of them getting clean recovery. Some people who don't understand what drug addiction is all about, they resent the word recovery because they wasn't sick, they were just strung out. Well, it is a sickness. Because just like when you get sick with the flu or any other physical problems, it's beyond your control. It hit you while you weren't looking, and it makes you feel powerless against it until it takes its course. Well, that's the difference between drug addiction and other illnesses, because people are going to blame you for putting yourself in that position. And you do have to carry some of the blame for being in that position. But the other thing about it is that addiction makes you feel powerless to not take drugs, to not drink. And that's the thing that most people do not understand. They don't understand that they don't feel like that somebody doesn't feel like they have a choice about whether to get high or not. People don't understand that. People who have never drank heavily, who have never involved themselves with drugs, who have never indulged, they don't understand the power that the addiction has over you. But maybe they understand it in other ways, like being an overeater or a gambler. Overeaters make so many excuses, just like drug addicts do, about overeating. And here they are blowing up 300 pounds, 400 pounds, 500 pounds. Fat tub of lard. Fat tub of lard. And they want to stop eating. They want to stop eating as much. And they definitely want to lose weight. And they're definitely not in as good of health as they once were. And they definitely don't feel as good as they used to. And they probably don't look as good as they used to. And they probably want to get back to what they were before. enjoying that type of good health, good looks, good feelings. And they feel powerless to do it. But when they get back on, I don't know whether they get weight loss surgery, whether they make the determination to say it's 2023 and I'm going to hit the gym and stop eating so much every day or so often that I'm going to make a quick difference and I'm going to stay on track and I'm going to protect my health. I'm going to secure my health and protect it and stay the course. Okay. Did they do it for their own health or did they do it for their own looks? In other words, did they do it so they'll feel better, do better? Or did they do it so people will see them as being an inspiration? If it wasn't for you, I would have never would have made it. Never would have made it. Yeah, it's not a small thing, y'all. It's not. Bouncing back, recovering, rebounding. Oh, rebounding. Yeah, let's make sure we cover that. Rebounding. Rebounding. You're in a relationship, serious relationship, whether it was long-term or whirlwind, or you were married, building families with each other, breaking up, separating, divorcing. And you know how it is when you've been with somebody for a long time or a significant amount of time. It's going to seem like a long time either way. But the longer you are with somebody and the more that you are around somebody, the more used to them that you get and the more you start to depend on them because you recognize them more than most people or most things that you are involved with. So it's just like when you sit in your favorite chair every day and somebody moves your chair. Or have any of you ever experienced this? When I moved from my old apartment, I lived in my old apartment for 10 years. So I was used to, and I was also at the same job for that many years. I was so used to going home to my old place that when I moved, it felt weird. Sometimes I would still drive all the way to my old place and then have to drive home like, oh, shoot. I wasn't paying attention. You know, like, it's a crazy thing. When something is removed from your life that you have been doing and depending on getting used to for so long and it becomes removed from you, you may have to bounce back because your body, your psyche, your hormones, they react to that change in a strange way. And you can get sick out of nowhere without even seeming like you've been around anybody or whatever. It can have a negative effect on your immune system. So the stress that leads to a breakup and then the final breakup can mess people up real, really, really, really bad. And your trust can get wrapped up in that. You know, maybe you loved and trusted somebody so much that did you wrong. And now you don't know who to love. You don't know who to trust. You don't know even how to love or how to trust anymore. And now you're expected to rebound from that. People are looking at you saying, oh, you're so handsome or you're so beautiful. You know, that person was lucky to have you. And trust me, it's going to be harder for them to have somebody else or to be with somebody else or whatever. You know, they lost a lot within you. People try to inspire you and encourage you to get back on your horse and try again and not be sad or upset. But it's you who has to deal with how you feel and what has happened to you. So a breakup or a divorce can seem like an injury to you. It's definitely going to injure you emotionally. Your heart is going to be messed up. You can start experiencing all kinds of physical problems dealing with the emotional turmoil that a breakup or a divorce gives you, or death in the family. So rebounding, trying to rebound from that. Rebound. I might even need a little help from y'all if y'all can help me today. When we start talking about rebounding. Rebounding from a failed relationship. Ooh, I don't even like the name of that, the sound of it. Failed relationship. What's a failed relationship? Why I have to be failed? A failed marriage. Why I have to be failed? That's what they call it. So when you rebound from that, because you won't, you know, I mean, you may feel like you have to recover, but that's not the terminology that I've been used to hearing about breaking up with somebody. But when you rebound, are we talking about getting on with your life and getting with somebody else? Or are we just talking about being able to deal with the situation that doesn't exist anymore between you and the person that you broke up with? What are we talking about when we talk about rebounding? What does it take to be a rebounder? What does it take to rebound? Who knows what I'm talking about? What are we talking about? Huh? What are we talking about, y'all? What are we talking about when we talk about rebounding? Have you ever had to rebound from a relationship? How many times have you had to rebound? How familiar of a term is this for you? Are you rebounding now? Somebody out there is breaking up with somebody or just got finished breaking up or getting back with somebody right now. What about you? What about you? What have you done? How have you rebounded? How is your rebounding efforts? How are your rebounding efforts going these days, nowadays? Are you all right? Do you still try to call a person, keep in contact with the person? Are you determined to still be friends with the person? Is that getting in the way of you being able to rebound? Man, I wish y'all was talking right now, because I would like to know what y'all consider rebounding to be. I'm not really sure. What is rebounding? I know what recovering is. What is rebounding? Is it just being able to be comfortable with the separation, or is it getting with somebody else and being able to start over in a healthier, hopefully healthier relationship than you were in before? What is rebounding to y'all? Somebody talk to me, because we're about to get out of here in a minute. What are we talking about when we talk about rebounding? What are we talking about when we talk about rebounding? Yeah, that's a sticky. You know, many of us have been products of divorces, broken homes, single homes, single family homes, raised by one parent instead of two. Some of us are raising our children that way. Maybe it started off with two parents, ended up with one parent, started off married. Shout out to the people who had children after they were married, had a full family, got divorced. You know, when you get divorced, you still have to try to find a way to keep your family together. That may sound oxymoronic to some people. But yeah, when you get divorced, you still have to find a way to keep your family together because, you know, just because you and your spouse aren't together anymore, you still have to make sure that your children are fine, well, protected, adjusted, developing in the right direction. And it's not always easy. So that's the part of keeping your family together that a lot of people don't think about. They don't take that into consideration. Yeah, your family can't fall apart just because you have divorced. All right. So we talk about rebounding, coming back, recovering. If y'all don't think about nothing else, just think about that today. You know, like, what have your recovery efforts been like? What have you done? Like, how have they worked out? Are you still there? Did you think that you were past that part and realize that you might still be stuck in it? However it goes, if you keep striving, if you keep moving, if you keep trying, you're going to get farther than you were before. Don't be ashamed of what your ego has brought to you or how it drives you. Of course, you don't want your ego to be out of control and make you start thinking that you're right about situations that you're dead wrong about. But your ego is as useful to you as you can make it be. Let's do these birthday shout-outs. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious. January 7th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special, because they are special, because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. Big at the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. Big at the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. Big at the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box, Miss Cookie Doll, loving her kids. That's her name. Miss Cookie Doll, loving her kids, turning 53 years old today. And also Katrina Smart, turning 42 years old today. And also Noemi Santos Silva, turning 45 years old today. And Nicole Nelson, turning 54 years old today. And Brock Davis, turning 33 years old today. And Dee Dee Scott, turning 46 years old today. I'm sorry, 48 years old today. And Rosalie Snape Beckford, going all the way back to the 1991. Penn State, stand up. Happy birthday to you. And LaShondra Jeanette, happy birthday to you. And Brian Chacon, turning 66 years old today. And one of our greatest go-getters, a girl, Robin Ming, my big sis doing a thing, turning 66 years old today. And Richard Salter, happy birthday to you. And Frederick Douglass, not the historic Frederick Douglass. But anyway, turning 72 years old today. And last but not least, my girl who lived right down the street from me, always been a really, really good friend of me, friend of mine. You know what I mean? Lived right in the last house on the block. My girl, Michelle Davis Brooks. Brooks is her married name, but that's my girl, Michelle Davis. Happy birthday to you. I want to say happy birthday to all of y'all. And anyone else out there who shares his birthday on his glorious. January 7th. I hope that today finds you all in good health, happiness, mind, body, soul, and spirit. All of y'all go ahead and turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. Rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn. Rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn. Rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn thing. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, rebounding, recovering, coming back, all those things are restorative efforts. We were just talking about who they benefit, who we do it for. You know what I mean? One time for the one times. Nope. One time for my peoples that been with me since we were shooting free throws in the gym. One time for my girl that's been riding with me, you know, since I was in the B210 Dotson hoopty. One time for my brothers and my sisters that never let me fall off and always showed me how to stay on and get back. Shout outs to this one, that one, and everyone that ever cared and helped. That's where we are with it. And hopefully we all have that in our lives. The ability to make a comeback is a beautiful thing. To bounce back, to rebound, to come back, to recover. Like I said, don't be ashamed to let your ego get into it and let it do what's necessary to be done. Don't even worry about it. We're going to be back tomorrow. I'm going to think about it. I can't guarantee y'all Urban Therapy with Sun Show tomorrow, but I'm sure going to try to. So we're going to see. If we do, it will be at 1 o'clock. If we do, it'll be at 1 o'clock. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. I love y'all right back to life. Please make sure that y'all hit that like button. Share the show and subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. All right, so Blog Talk, we're going to get you out of here. Yeah.